Amen. Amen. Praise God. Well, happy Sabbath and good morning. I bring greetings from Houston Central, Seventh-day Adventist Church, and from Pastor Jose Rojas, the senior pastor. I'm the youth pastor there at the church. Is the PowerPoint going? Well, I was just going to show a picture of my family. That was the last recent picture that we had a month ago. And so you guys would see my family. As they look there, there was this one a few years back. There was a GC, the General Conference meeting session. And this one pastor from Brazil, he came. And after the meeting, he took around a week vacation. He rented a car. And he was going sightseeing some of the nice place here in the U.S. And, you know, after a few hours, he was about 5 hours from the place where the GC was meeting. And he stopped to put some gas. And he saw a symbol, a logo of the SDA church at the gas station in another car. So he said, oh, wow, a Seventh-day Adventist person. So he went there and said, hey, how are you doing? And the guy looked at him and they could not communicate. And he said, okay, maybe this guy is speaks Spanish, Mexico or some other country in Central America. Hola, habla español. Do you speak Spanish? No. Oh, maybe he's from Brazil. Você fala português? You speak Portuguese? And nothing. So he had an idea. He went and he ran in his car. He said, like this. He went in his car, got his Bible, and he came and he pointed at the logo, pointed at the Bible, pointed at God, at the sky, and pointed to his heart. The guy gave a big smile, he went around, went inside of his car, got his Bible, went, point on the logo, point on the Bible, point to God, point in his heart, and the Brazilian guy just, okay, he point again on the logo, point to the Bible, point to the sky, point in his heart. The guy did the same thing. After this long conversation, they just gave a hug, and they left, and they couldn't speak. So the reason I'm telling you this, by now, you already saw the accent. And the accent, it is from Brazil. And we're going to need to fight those battles. You know, accent and people, maybe will not understand each other well because of that. But hopefully my accent is not strong or not that bad that you'll be able to receive the message. So the accent is from Brazil. But the word that's going to hear, you will hear today, is from God. So if it is from God, it can change. You only need to open your heart. And God will touch you. Let us have a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for this day. Please be with us now. Open our minds, our hearts, and our ears, and help us to hear and understand the message that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So the title of the message today, it is, Where Am I Going? So if you read it, it's for you. I could have put it as, where are you going? But then it's me asking you. So when you say it, where am I going? You need to answer, where are you going? Do you know where you're going? And if you don't know where you're going, you might be very surprised and maybe even upset once you get to the destination, where are you going? So we all need to know, we must know where we are going. For the PowerPoint, I have another, I have on the flash drive another file, if the problem is the file. Okay. So, I don't know if you guys have ever checked your family tree to see where you came from. I was online not too long ago, and there was a little commercial there on the side saying, do you know where you came from? Check it. Come on this website and check your family tree. Maybe you came from royal blood and so-and-so. And they start giving some people that they're related to royalty, you know. And some people think that's very good. And I know some people that just went there to find out. And, of course, they didn't find anybody famous, anyone rich or anything. And they got a little bit upset. So where you came from is important for us to know. Nowadays, we talk, a lot of people on TV and on the media, they talk about the Big Bang, that we came from a Big Bang. Would you be surprised if I tell you that I do believe that was the Big Bang actually happened? I can't prove, but I do believe that before Genesis 1, there was a Big Bang. When God came to create this planet, planet Earth, there was a big explosion, a Big Bang. Big explosion. Of course, I don't believe the way that the scientists or the school or people want to tell us that everything came from this Big Bang and then this little something changed to something else and changed to something else. But before, because on Genesis 1, when God came to create the Garden of Eden, this planet was already there without form and void, but water, sand, the rocks, they were already here. So if a scientist come to me and say, Pastor, this stone is 100 billion years. Well, so okay, that's fine. I cannot discuss that because it could have been here before Genesis 1. Now, when they come and say that this bone, it is 100,000 years, that I would have an issue with. Because according with the Bible, we are here not for that long. So, basically, when Noah, we had the flood, the big flood, Noah's flood, was about 2,000 years that this planet was here. After another 2,000, Jesus was born. So that was 4,000. And now we are 2020. So another 2,000. So basically, this planet, as we know, we have about 6,000 years. But not everyone believe in that. Some they want to say, and they want to believe, that we came from a monkey. And I guess, I don't know, to me, you need more faith to believe in something like that than just come and believe that God came and created us. In my mind, I have lots of questions about this monkey idea. But I just try to imagine. There was a group of monkeys there at the jungle, and then some of them start saying, you know what, we are tired of being monkeys. We want to change ourselves to human. And they start doing different things and doing different things, and suddenly they came to be humans. So that's one of the questions I have. Is I have never seen anywhere in the planet, in all the jungles, any picture, any video, any zoo, a halfway monkey, halfway person. So why they're not changing still? And why another group, I guess, resisted so bad that they said, you guys will change, but we were not going to change. We're still going to be monkeys because we still have monkeys nowadays. And of course, you guys probably have your own questions as well. But as long as we know that God came and created us, those questions that the smart scientists and people out there keep throwing at us and telling us what it is not going to bother us. Because we know that God created us in 7 days. He came and created the light. He separated things. He made the moon, the stars, the sun. He created the animals. And on the sixth day, he created us. God came and created us. Genesis 2:7, it says, and the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and the man became a living soul. So this is something that makes us sometimes stop and think. What it is life? Life, it is the dust of the ground, the breath of life, then we have a living soul. God went there and put his hands on the little dust with a little mud, water, and he formed details, the hands, the head, the nose, the ears, and even our private parts too. Some people think that God came create the man and the woman, and the devil went there and created. No, God created the whole thing beautifully and said, go and multiply. And as you get married, you can have that privilege, and you can do what God asks us to do. So after creating us perfect, he put us there in the garden. In Genesis 1:26, he created us and asked us to take care of the planet, take care of the animals, to keep it. So it is wrong for us to go there and do bad things to the animals, do bad things to the plants. We should keep it and preserve it. Colossians 3:10, God gave us knowledge and understanding. And this is the thing that we have, is something special that God gave us. The animals don't have that. This is unique for us. Genesis 2:18, and the Lord said, it's not good that the man should be alone. I will make him a helper, comparable to him. And if you've seen anyone that is an artist, I'm not very artist, I'm really bad, I can't draw, I can't do anything. If I go to the beach with the kids and I try to do a little something, it comes very, very ugly. But they say that people that are, even the professionals, they usually try to do a little sample first, something, so they can, and then the second one is when they do perfect. And that's sort of what God did as well. First he went there, create Adam, so okay, I can make some change and make it better. And he went there and created a woman. Amen? Amen. Too bad my wife is not here watching. And then he said, I have a job for you guys. You guys now need to name everything that is here. And they start giving name to the animals. And that's even right there, God set a precedent. And even nowadays, scientists and people, when they find a new creature, what's the first thing they do? They give a name. And ask them to keep and work on the land and take care of everything. And something interesting there, he says, now you should work 6 days so you can rest on the seventh. Sometimes we have people that rest 6 days and work on the Sabbath. Something for you to think on. Genesis 1:28 and 29, God give us some more guidance. And says, then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I have given you every herb that yields seeds, which is on the face of the earth, and every seed whose fruits yield seed, it shall be for you as food. So God went there and said, everything that's here, you guys can eat. If you're hungry, go there and eat all those fruits. But right there, in the midst of the garden, there was two different trees. And God said, this one here, you should not eat of it. If you eat from this tree, you will die. Pastor, was that tree poisonous? There is no record anywhere that I can tell you that was poisonous. I believe that all God wanted, in my view, that was a good fruit. No poisonous whatsoever. But God wants to test their loyalty. The same way that God wants to test our loyalty. He wants us to rest on the seventh day. He wants us to eat certain stuff and not to eat other stuff. He wants us to be faithful in his tithes and his offering. He wants to be faithful with his time. With his body, we are a temple of the Holy Spirit. We need to take care of our bodies. Some people, they just want to work, 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 and no rest. We must rest. But as we know, they disobeyed God, and they went there. They heard and listened to the serpent, and since that day, we start dying. And since sin came to this earth, things are not the same. God went there to talk to them and said, what happened? And they start with the blame game. Oh, it was him, it was her, it was the serpent. And even nowadays, we're still blaming. Every time that something bad happened, we try to blame somebody else for the problem. Shortly after that, Cain went and killed his brother. And sin continued to grow and is still growing nowadays. If you go online, if you turn on the TV, you're going to see so many bad things. And it's just getting worse, just like the Bible told us that it would. But what was the lie that the devil said? Of course, you're not going to die. But here we are. We are dying. Ezekiel 18:20, the soul who sins, it shall die. I wish we had the PowerPoints I could show you so you could see this. Sometimes when we study the Bible, it's good to compare the different versions. So I had a few versions there. I'm going to read it to you. Genesis 2:6 and 7 says that the Lord formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostril the breath of life, and man became a living soul. So if you check that last part, living soul, different translation will give living being, living person, living creature, start breathing, begun to live, living soul. So it was just a little, I don't know what you say, a little form of a man in the floor, and God then, and that air went to his nostrils, and he started breathing, and that is a living soul. So what we are made of? And I just check online to see what's our composition, what we have in us. And it's basically about 60% of water. And then each one of us will have different amounts of fat and oxygen and nitrogen and calcium and sodium and all those different chemicals. And something that's very interesting. Most of us, we have 0.2 milligrams of gold in our bodies and some other expensive stuff like gold or other minerals. And where can we find all those ingredients? On the ground, on the dust, on the floor where God went there and created us. And if we go and dig up on the ground, we'll find gold, we find all those things that it is in us. That's where God went there and got it from. The same thing it is if we go home and we want to make a special bread with many different kind of nuts. And once we have that bread, and if we take that bread to be analyzed, we're going to see that we have peanuts or we have whatever is different nuts and chia seed and mustard seed, whatever seed you put in there, you see in that bread. And it is the same thing with us. So now we did understand what happened when God created us. What happened when we die? Ecclesiastes 12:7, it says, then the dust will return to the earth as it was, and the spirit will return to God who gave it. So when we die, the spirit go back to God. So how exactly that happened? Many people get this wrong. And they think that once we die, we're already straight there with God in heaven. But if we study the Bible, we have no connection, no Bible verse anywhere that will show or prove a soul without a body communicating in any way. So many cultures, they have trouble understanding this. And in Japan, in March of 2011, they had one of the greatest tsunami. And over 20,000 people died. And I was just recently watching a documentary about it. And they say that it is so complicated for them. And it's so hard for them. Because most people there, they believe that in order for the soul to find its place, not to get lost, they need to have a body, and then they will do, if you leave it there, I can find it. For them to find a body, since hundreds and thousands of them, they never found the body. So they struggle so much, because on their understanding is that that person, that soul is there wandering around and is lost, and they need to go and have this special worship and special offerings and special sacrifice in order to get that soul going to the right spot where they need to be. So our bodies go to the ground and our breath go back to God. So I try to understand this on my sinful way, and the best way that I can understand is this. We have the body right here, and God in the beginning, he did, he blew that air. And once we die, my understanding, I'm not saying this is what it is, call me crazy, but this is, I understand that the body goes back and the air God takes in and that's it. So we are not there in heaven. Whoever passed away, they're not there in heaven, worship, eating and talking and doing things. It's just the air that God, and that's it. No more. Acts 7:14, it talks about Joseph. That Joseph was there, being the second in command in Egypt, and he wants to bring his relatives to be near him. And was 75, the amount of people of his relatives that he wants to bring. And again, comparing in different versions, it says 75 in all, 75 persons in all, 75 souls in all, 75 of them, 75 souls, which are 75 people. So it's just different translations sometimes confuse us more than help us. But we see that he brought 75 souls, which what is 75 souls? 75 people that were alive. No dead people came with them, was 75 people, alive people. So now I have a question that I would like to ask you. Breath of life, dust, living soul. That's what God, the way that God created us. So if you can, please let me know. I'm just curious. How many people think that the animals also have a soul? Does the animals have souls? Okay. How many people think that the animals don't have souls, only us human beings have souls? Okay. So let's see what the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes 3, 18 and 19. And I said in my heart concerning the condition of the Son of Man, God tests them that they may see that they themselves are like the animals. For what happened to the Son of Man also happened to the animals. One thing befalls them. As one dies, so dies the other one. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over the animals, for all is vanity. So the animals and us, we all have souls. We are all the same thing. So, Pastor, what's the difference between the animals and us? Oh, we have a lot of difference. We were created by God. The animals were created by God. God spoke them. God made us by hand. God came and gave us a blessing, asked us to take care of them. God gave us intelligence. The animals have instinct. They can be trained. We can worship God if we want to. The animals, they cannot worship God. We can deny and not accept God, not worship God. We were created a God's own image. God came and died for our sins. An animal cannot sin. They don't know right or wrong. We can teach a dog to be a good, tame God, that dog. Or we can teach that dog just to attack anything and everything that it sees. And God came and gave us the opportunity, the right of going back home, back to heaven. Psalms 51, verse 5. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. So we were conceived in sin. But let's share a couple more Bible verses. Ecclesiastes 7 and 20. For there is not a just man on earth who does good and does not sin. So we are all sinners. Romans 3:23. For all have sinned and have fallen short from the glory of God. So what we must do? If we know that we have done something wrong, we must go and confess our sins to God. Ask for forgiveness. Say, Lord, I'm sorry I did this. I want to do better this time. Help me not to do it anymore. And God will give you forgiveness. But we must ask. And it is free. We don't need to pay for anything. But we must ask. We need to go on our knees and say, I'm sorry. I won't do it again. Give me strength to overcome. The spirit, the character of man, returns to God to be preserved. That is SDA Bible Commentary, Volume 6. So the only thing that God will use from us, from this body, will be our character. So we must build our character to be the best that we can. Because if we perish, if we die one day, if we go to heaven, God will then get our character and give us a new body. A way that I have to understand this better, nowadays we have the cell phone, the computers, the smart TV, all those stuff. And a lot of that information, where do they save that information? In the cloud, right? So it doesn't matter what kind of cell phone you have, if you still have a very old device that you save stuff in the cloud, and it breaks, and then you go there and buy a new one. So let me just download everything from the cloud. So just in my sinful imagination, God has one of the biggest external hard drive right there on the cloud that he saved each one of our character. So it doesn't matter if you burn, if you died being burned at sea, whatever it is, everything is saved on the cloud. And on that time, God will, on the last trumpet, he'll give each one of us, he's not going to use this body, he's going to change and get a new one. So he's going to download the new information to the new body, and that's the one that we're going to take to heaven. We're going to recognize each other in heaven. Why? Because everything is coming from that character, from that stuff that are saved there at the cloud. Getting to a close, we have a parable about Uncle Mark. Uncle Mark was one of those very enthusiastic Christian, and everywhere he would go, he would take his Bible. And any time that he would find something that he liked it, he would say, "Praise the Lord! Hallelujah!" It doesn't matter where he was. And his nephew had a dentist appointment, and they needed someone to drive him. And Uncle Mark was the one in charge of taking him to that appointment. And his nephew was a little worried because he most likely he would take his Bible, he would be there reading. And from nowhere, he would start screaming, and "Praise the Lord, hallelujah," and would embarrass him. He said, "Uncle Mark, I have one request. I know that you're taking me to the appointment, and I'm glad that you are. Can you please leave your Bible at home?" So, okay, I don't understand why, but I'll do it for you. So once they got there, Uncle Mark started getting a magazine, and he started checking there. There was something about scuba dive, and he was all excited and enjoying his reading. Suddenly, he said, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord." I said, "What's going on? You're reading a magazine. What's there for you to be screaming about it?" "Oh, let me tell you. I just read it right here that Hamad, a 41-year-old Egyptian, he broke the record for the deepest scuba dive plunging in the Red Sea. And it was 1,090 feet, which is 332 meters. I said, "Okay, so what's there to praise God about that?" He said, "Well, do you know where is the deepest part of the ocean?" I said, "No, I don't." He said, "Well, that it is the Challenge Deep. It is close to Guam and the Philippines. The deepest point is almost 7 miles deep. And right there, every time that I ask forgiveness, God will get my sins and put right there on that deep. And not even Hamad can go there and check my sins because it's so deep that he cannot even go. And I need to praise God for it." Brothers and sisters, right there on that deep, it is where our sins are. Every time we go and confess our sins to God, not even Hamad can go there and check it. And Romans 8:1-2 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk accordingly to the flesh, but according with the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death." And the last Bible verse I have is John 8:43-44. "Why you not understand my speech? Because you are not able to listen to my word. You are of your father, the devil, and the desires of your father you do." Whose desires are you doing? Who is your father? You cannot have two fathers. You cannot go right and left at the same time. Who are you following? Whoever you're listening, whoever's father you're doing, whatever that's your father. If you're following God, God is your father. But if you're following the devil is your father. Who you want your father to be? It's something for you to think this morning. So my question is, where are you going? Where am I going? Who I am following? My prayer today is that you follow God, your father. That would be the best decision that any one of us can make today. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for being our Father. Please, Lord, guide us and give us the strength to follow you. At times it's difficult as things happen and we end up falling and doing what you do not agree of. But please give us the strength and help us to be better tomorrow, better than we are being today and what we were yesterday. Continue blessing this church, all the leaders, their pastor, and that one day, Lord, pretty soon we can all meet together in heaven. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.